If you take your scriptures in hand, would you turn with me to Psalm 121, Psalm 121? And we're continuing our series this morning, Faith Undaunted. And today's message is titled, Where Can I Find Help? Where Can I Find Help? You know, several years ago, I visited Puerto Rico with some friends, and we stayed in the mountains with a grand uncle of one of them who was a retired Pentecostal pastor, and he was in his 80s. And of course, since I was a pastor, he took a liking to me. He felt a connection, and our communication was quite challenged because he spoke no English, and well, my Spanish leaves a lot to be desired. And, you know, all he wanted to do was to stay in the house and fellowship. We were younger, and of course, we wanted to go out, and we wanted to sightsee. And so one day his nieces pleaded with him to take us sightseeing, and he agreed with one condition. He insisted that La Pastora drive the car. Well, La Pastora is me. And I'm the only one that he would allow to drive the car. And, you know, if you've driven in the islands, you know, people, especially in Puerto Rico, they drive a little bit crazy. They don't stop for stop signs or for traffic lights if they're red. And so I would brake at a red light or a stop sign, and he would say, sigue, sigue, continue on, go, go, you know. And then we were going to see this place called El Yunque in the mountains. It's like a tropical rainforest. And so we're driving on this steep, windy road going up this high mountain. And again, if you've ever driven in the Caribbean, you know that driving in the mountains can be a very dangerous thing because the roads are not quite like they are here in the U.S. And the roads tend to be very narrow and winding, and there's no safety barrier. There's none of those traffic barriers on the side of the road. And one side of the road, you have the face of the mountain going up, and the other side of the road, you have a precipice going down. These narrow roads, you know, are very difficult, especially if you have a truck coming down from the mountain, because the trucks are wide and they take a lot of room. And so you have to kind of, you know, move your car over so that they can squeeze by. But you move over and there's a very steep cliff down to the side. And at one point we were approaching a sharp turn, and the old man said, Cuidado, esta es la nariz del diablo. He said, be careful, this is the nose of the devil. And it was a very sharp turn. And then he went on to explain in Spanish how many hundreds of cars have just gone diving off the edge of the cliff at the nose of the devil. And it was extremely dangerous. That made me feel so comforted and secured. Everybody else in the car was relaxed, and they're having a good time, and they're saying, look at this, and they're admiring the beauty of the sea and the landscape, and I had a knot in the back of my neck, and I was under so much stress driving in these conditions. I couldn't wait for that trip to be over. Now, mountains, they're beautiful and they're majestic places, but they can also be dangerous places. Mountains in the Bible often represent the place of God's presence and God's blessing. Mount Moriah is where God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh when Abraham was about to offer his son as a sacrifice. On Mount Sinai, the glory of God settled in the form of a cloud as God made himself manifest to his people and established his covenant with the people of Israel. It was at Mount Carmel that Elijah faced down 850 false prophets and called down fire out of heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar. It was on a mountain that Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, and they saw his divinity, they saw his glory. It was on Mount Calvary that Jesus offered his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And when Christ returns to fight the battle of Armageddon, we are told that he will set feet on Mount Carmel, on Mount Olivet, excuse me, and the mount will split in two. God ordained that some of the most climactic moments in the unfolding of his plan would take place on mountains or on higher ground. Even Jerusalem, which is called the city of our God, the place where the temple of God is, the central place of worship for God's people, was located on Mount Zion. It was built on the side of a mountain. And each year, the people of Israel would make a long journey, a pilgrimage on foot with their family and their friends from everywhere that they lived to come to Mount Zion to worship and to celebrate the feasts of Israel, whether it was Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles. And as they journeyed along the road from the lowlands of Palestine up to the high places of Jerusalem, they would sing songs that are called Songs of Ascent. And 15 of those songs are contained in the book of Psalm for us, Israel's songbook. These were joyful songs as they anticipated the times of celebration that they would share with their family and friends as they gathered to worship God together in Jerusalem. These were pilgrim songs or songs for the journey, which also tell of the dangers of the journey and of the help that God provides along the way. And this upward pilgrimage serves as an image of the Christian journey from the lowlands of our present life and circumstances up to the high places where God is calling us, the place of His presence, the place of His blessing, the place of His destiny, the place of His purpose for our lives. And the Christian life is all about an uphill climb, an uphill climb that can be challenging and difficult at times as we journey on the way to the high places. And the Bible never lies to us. It tells us plainly that the Christian life is not easy. It reminds us that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. We do not belong here. We are merely passing through. And the journey through this foreign land is long. It is tiresome. It is difficult. It is dangerous. But the long and winding road of this life, if we will trust God, will eventually lead us to the city of our God, a place of joy, a place of feasting, a place of abundance, a place of blessing. And we too, like the children of Israel, are on a pilgrimage. And the songs of ascent serve as a metaphor for our own spiritual journey. The songs of ascent were intended to remind God's people of His presence and protection all along life's journey. Psalm 121 is one of those songs of ascent. Read with me if you will. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Hallelujah. An uphill climb, in and of itself, is difficult and strenuous. But in addition to that, the hills and the caves in the mountains provided many hiding places for robbers and criminals to lurk as the people of Israel made their journey up to Jerusalem. That's why in the Psalms they referred to it as the Valley of the Shadow of Death, because it was a very dangerous place. The rugged terrain held many perils for personal injury and loss and heat stroke and exhaustion and attack by wild animals and attack by criminals. And on a journey like that, there was much at risk. A lot of bad things could happen. And so the people of God had a justifiable reason to be afraid. Of course, back then they didn't even have any cell phones. You couldn't just dial 911 or call AAA if something happened on the way. And this was one of the first songs to be sung as they began the long uphill climb. And the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Have you ever just looked ahead at the journey before you in life and thought, where am I going to get the strength from to go through that? How am I going to make it through what lies ahead? You see, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the challenging journey that lay ahead. And the difficulty of that journey prompts the psalmist to ask, where does my help come from? Yeah. And this question is an admission of our need for help beyond our own strength, beyond our own ability. It is an admission that we can't do this alone. Now, the hills were also places of pagan worship. Because in ancient times, they would build their shrines and their temples on high places, on the sides of mountains. So the implication of the question, where can I find help, means I can't look to the gods of the nations, these idols that they worship in the hills. No, I will not put my confidence in the things that this world trusts in. And as soon as the question is asked, it is immediately answered. Where will I find help? He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist declares, I am trusting in the one and true God, the creator, the maker of the mountains. He alone is my help. And after making this declaration of trust in God, it's believed that the other pilgrims would then join in response, much like we did a responsive reading earlier in our service, to tell of the benefits of God's care and protection that are provided to those who will trust in him. And the same God that they sang about thousands of years ago is the same God that we serve today. Our circumstances may be different. The challenges, difficulties, and dangers that we face may have changed. But God remains the same, and the psalm assures us of the help that we can find in him. The first thing we see is that the Lord stabilizes us. Verse 3, the beginning of that verse, he says, he will not let your foot slip. Yeah. You know, there's times we go through in life, and he may not necessarily physically mean about our foot slipping. But if you remember, the psalmist had once said, when I looked at the wicked prospering and how the righteous suffer, my foot had almost slipped. Spiritually, I almost failed. Until I went to the temple of God and he showed me their end. So he may be talking about a spiritual failing, our strength failing, our faith failing. Do you understand what we're saying? And so the Lord stabilizes our feet. The Lord guards our steps. You see, the steep climb to Jerusalem was difficult and the terrain was dangerous. And physically, a person could easily step on a rock and it could cause them to fall and twist an ankle or break a leg or slip off the side of a cliff. You know, several years ago, I went with a group of people from the church to the Smoky Mountains, and several of us decided to take a hike up the side of a mountain to see a beautiful waterfall that was there. And so on the way down the path was very narrow. And someone was coming up, and the people going up were on the side of the mountain. And the people coming down were on the side of the precipice. So on the way down, as I was coming down, there was someone going up with one of those athletic strollers. And those athletic strollers tend to have a wide wheelbase. So there they are pushing their baby in this athletic stroller up. And I'm coming down. So to give them way, I kind of stepped to the side, not realizing that there was a patch of moss there due to an overhanging tree. Well, as soon as my foot hit that moss, they went out from under me, and I started to slide off the side of the mountain. Thankfully, there was a man coming up who grabbed my blouse by the shoulder and pulled me back up. I looked up. He was very good looking, so I was extremely embarrassed. But I was grateful nonetheless. Amen. But in the journey of life, the opportunity for missteps are everywhere. But God promises that he will not allow our foot to slip. We may hit some rough spots. We may hit some slippery places. But God will guard our steps. He will keep us from slipping. Hallelujah. He will strengthen us and he will enable us to stand no matter what difficulty, no matter what trial, no matter what circumstance we face. God will stabilize us and enable us to stand strong in the face of trial. Not only does the Lord guard our steps, the Lord guides our steps. You know, in Psalm 18:33, he says, he makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. In the King James, he says, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. Now, the hind is a mountain deer, and it is considered the most sure-footed of all mountain animals. They are able to climb to great heights with great agility and stability because when they jump, they place their rear hooves exactly where their front hooves were. So as they move their front hooves to jump to the next rock, their rear hoofs come to the exact same place where their front hoofs had been, guaranteeing that they have a safe place to stand. So they're able to maneuver safely and securely at great heights in very dangerous terrain. And God is calling us to high places spiritually, where the path is challenging and difficult, but he promises to make us as sure-footed as a mountain deer so that our foot will not slip. What he's promising is, he's promising to guide each footstep so it will be placed securely where it needs to be. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. As you are trusting in the Lord, as you are surrendering your life to the Lord, as you are submitting yourself to the Lord, he will guide your every step to make sure that you place your feet on safe ground. What does that mean? He will guide your decisions. He will guide your choices. He will guide your actions. If you're trusting him, if you're surrendering to him, if you're submitting to him, he will make sure that you don't make the wrong decision. He'll make sure that you don't make the wrong choice, but that you will take the right steps in your life to get you to the place where he wants you to go. If we will trust in the Lord and allow him to lead us, he will keep us from making many of the mistakes that bring heartache and trouble in our lives and detour us from the will and purpose of God for us. Have you ever noticed the measures that new parents take to protect their kids? They have protective baby seats in their car. Of course, it's required by law, but it's a protection for their children in case of accident. They have childproof locks to keep their child from opening a door or falling out of the car. They have outlet covers. They have childproof cabinet locks and a host of other protective measures. And everything is dedicated to keeping their children safe from outward dangers, but also to keep the child safe from their own actions. Because how many of us know that children just don't have knowledge? They don't realize the things that can hurt them. And we are a lot like children sometimes. We are the children of God. And as children, sometimes we don't realize the decisions and choices that can hurt us. A child sees an outlet, has a metal object in their hand, and they think, wow, that looks like fun. Let me stick it in the outlet. They don't realize the danger. We see certain choices and decisions in our life. It may be a job that will take us away from the house of God or a job that may put us in an environment that will negatively influence our walk in the Lord. And we think, hey, that looks like a great job. Or we see a man or a woman, for those single folk out there, that are not serving the Lord. But they're nice, they're funny, they're good looking. And we say, that looks good. But it's really a trap of the enemy to pull you away from God. See? But we don't know that. We don't know that unless we are submitting ourselves to God, unless we're walking in his way, unless we're surrendering to him, and then God will stop us. You see, when we trust in the Lord, he keeps us not only from outward dangers, protecting us from the things coming against us, but he protects us from ourselves. He protects us from making foolish decisions and stupid mistakes in our life. I'm so grateful that God guides our steps. Amen. Secondly, the Lord stands over us. The Lord stands guard over us. Look at the second part of verse 3. It says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Aren't you glad that the Lord is our sentry? Yeah. He's our guard. You know, these groups of pilgrims would often post guards on their pilgrimage, on their journey. They would appoint certain people to be on guard, to stay awake all night, to protect against possible attacks by criminals and wild animals. We see, for instance, in the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, he tells of a man who was attacked, apparently on the journey to Jerusalem, and left for dead outside of Jerusalem. And it illustrates well the dangers that were faced by those who traveled alone on that path. But we can trust in the Lord because he watches over us 24 hours a day. He watches over you when you're at sleep at night in your house and it's all dark, and he's watching over you and keeping you from danger. He watches over you when you're on your way to work driving down I-95 and everybody's driving crazy, and God is watching over you. He watches over you in everything that you do. In your coming and your going, he is watching over you. You know, we've all seen those tragic news reports of a child that drowned in a pool, or a baby in a stroller and that rolled off onto the subway tracks, or a child that unlocked the door and wandered down the street by themselves and could have been killed. And even though we have compassion on parents that go through devastating experiences such as that, if we'd be honest, we probably often think to ourselves, how could a parent allow that to happen? Anybody honest enough to ever admit? Yeah. You know, how could a parent allow their kid to go out and get out in the pool by themselves? How could a parent not look behind their car and back up over their child? You know, we think those things, if we're honest. Amen. And of course, in some cases, it might be negligence, but in most instances, it's just a fact of a parent's humanity. Just the fact of the limitations of a parent, of the fact that they can't always watch their child 24/7. But aren't you glad to know that our Heavenly Father watches over us 24/7? There's never a moment that we are not under his watchful care. And as a loving Heavenly Father, he's completely dedicated to protecting us. He's completely dedicated to keeping us safe, to keeping us from harm and from danger. I love the story of a mother who was putting her 4-year-old daughter to bed. But the little girl was afraid of the dark. And the mother said, "Honey, it's time to turn out the lights." And as the room went dark, the little girl glimpsed the moon outside and asked, "Mama, is the moon God's light?" And so the mother said, "Yes." And the girl asked, "Will God put out his light and go to sleep as well?" The mother said, "No, honey, God never goes to sleep." The little girl replied, "Well, as long as God is awake, there's no sense in both of us staying up." And she turned around and went off to sleep. Folks, that little girl had a great deal of wisdom. God's watching over us 24/7. So when we're going through trial, when we're going through difficulty, when we're going through health issues, whatever it may be, God's up watching over you. So there's no use in both of us staying up. Amen. One of us might as well get rest, and it might as well be me. Amen. And we ought to take the wisdom of this young girl and trust that the Lord, whatever the problem is, whatever the situation may be, Lord, you're watching over me. Lord, you're taking care of me. So I'm not going to worry about it. Like Jesus said, you know, what can we change by all of our worry? We can't change one hair on our head by all of our worry. So just surrender it to the Lord, whatever it is that you're facing, and just turn over and go to sleep. Amen? Amen. Just trust in the Lord. And then we see that the Lord secures us in verses 5 and 6. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And what this illustrates is that God is protecting us from dangerous circumstances. When it says he is our shade, the sun will not harm you by day. You know, we're talking about a people that were making a journey, a pilgrimage, through the hot desert sun in Palestine. The temperatures could often exceed 120 degrees Fahrenheit. We don't get too far from that down here in South Florida. Feels like temperatures this week were like 105 and 108. Amen. But thankfully, we have the ability to get in our air-conditioned cars, or get into our air-conditioned offices or our air-conditioned homes, amen, and we can cool off under the shade, we can cool off under the breeze, and that's a wonderful thing. But when they were making a journey through this desert place, There was no covering for them. There was no AC. There was no fan. They were walking in the hot desert sun, and they could get sunstroke. The sun could actually kill them. And so they were saying, you know, God is the one that is going to shade you. God is the one that is going to protect you from perilous circumstances. And so that's the image that we see here, is that God is our shade. He's that covering.
Yeah.
He's that covering. Hallelujah. You can kind of picture it like them walking through the wilderness, and they've got like this super insulated umbrella, and God is shading over them. As they go, the shade goes with them. Folks, as we go, wherever we go, the covering of His protection goes with us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
now, folks, God will never remove His protection from us, but we can walk out from under His protection. We need to be sure to stay under the covering of His protection through faith and obedience to Him, through surrendering our lives, through submitting ourselves to Him. When we walk in obedience to Him, we remain under that covering of His protection. So He protects us from dangerous circumstances. He protects us also from perceived dangers. He says, nor by the moon by night. In those days, people were afraid of the moon, because they believed it caused crazy things to happen. Well, we know today that there's a scientific reason for that. Because when the moon is out, especially when it's a full moon, it causes certain changes. Changes not only in the waves and the tides, but it causes changes in brain fluids. And it can cause people to act quite crazy at those times. I'll be watching for you the next full moon. Amen. And you can see that the word lunar is the root of such words as lunatic and lunacy, craziness, because they believed there was a direct connection between the moon coming out and people doing crazy things. Well, regardless, the night has often served to amplify fears of danger. Just a couple weeks ago, and I live in what I consider to be a relatively safe neighborhood, but I was home one evening, and my neighbor came and knocked on the front door, and he said, did you know they tried to break into your car last night? And so I said, no, I wasn't aware. He said, yes, my safety camera, my safety video cameras, whatever, caught them trying to break into my car. And when my lights came on, they ran across the street to your car and they were trying to get in there. But then your lights came on and that scared them away as well. Well, folks, you know, for a little bit, you start to feel, wow. You know, there were bad people that were trying to break into my car. You feel a little bit violated. Of course, then you have to trust the Lord with that, you know. But the nighttime amplifies all of these dangers, all of these feelings of threat, all of these feelings of anxiety. But what the scripture's telling us is that God will protect us even from unseen dangers, even from enemies that we are not aware of. Hallelujah. God is constantly watching over us. And He tells us He preserves us throughout life's journey. Look at verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. You know, and coming and going represents the routines of life. It represents our daily patterns, our daily habits, our daily responsibilities, our daily stresses.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sometimes just that feeling of being on a hamster wheel, going in and going out. But God cares about us, and God strengthens us, and God provides everything that we need to make it on this endless treadmill of life. God is there to give us the strength, to give us the joy, to give us the perseverance,
yeah,
to give us the peace, to give us the grace to continue coming in and going out, coming in and going out, coming in and going out. But God is always there. He's always there strengthening you. Parents, He's there strengthening you when you have to take care of those little kids, and sometimes you just have no energy left because of job and house and kids. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to give you grace. He's there to uphold you. He's there to give you all that you need through every circumstance of life as the worship team comes back. And because Because the Lord is watching over us and taking care of us. We don't have to go through life worried and anxious. We can look up like the psalmist looked up to the hills. We can look at the journey ahead. And the journey may be difficult. For some of us, it may be a sickness that we're facing. For some of us, it may be a trial in our marriage. For some of us, it may be a trial with our grown children or our teenagers. For some of us, it may be a financial trial. And you look at that steep journey ahead, that challenging situation ahead, and you say, where can I find help? And we have to remember what the psalmist said. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, folks, if he can make heaven and earth, then what is your problem to him? It is as nothing. He is greater. He is greater than anything we face. If we look up to the Lord, if we will trust in him, we can walk assured that he will help us, he will protect us, and he will preserve us. He will keep us in all the circumstances of life. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for the encouragement of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are watching over us 24/7, that you care about us, that you are protecting us, that you are directing us, that you are keeping us, that you are preserving us, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your continual protection and care upon our lives, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to learn to trust you more. Because if we'd be honest, there are times that we look up to the challenges ahead. And fear fills our heart. Worry might come upon our mind. We might become anxious. We might become sorrowful. Father, whatever it might be, I pray today that we will learn like the psalmist to set our eyes upon you, because you and you alone are our help and our strength, Lord God. Help us to find comfort, encouragement, and strength in trusting you this morning. In Jesus' name.